Okay, at this time, we will start our remembrance of our saints that have departed this year as presented in the bulletin. So at this time, we remember Saint Don Hayworth, and daughter Connie Shoemaker is going to light the candle in remembrance of her father. Our next saint, Becky Vandeveer. Sister Cheryl will light the candle in remembrance of Becky. Harold Tabert. And Sandy will light the candle in remembrance of her dear Harold.
Okay. There, I'm looking at him up there on that screen. Kids picked that picture out. So this church has been a big part of our life for way over 50 years, and lots of memories, a lot of things that we've done with the church, our family. So appreciate all your love and support, and Harold's in a better place. Absolutely. We had so many memories and so much fun, and many of you don't know, but the week before, we came back from Florida. When the doctor said, you do what you can, well, you can as much as you can. You know us, you know me, yeah. We did, it was good. Everything is really good. Thank you for always being here for us.
Alice Snodgrass. And Marie is lighting the candle in remembrance of Alice.
Alice loved this church and the people that were here. She always spoke to me when I was taking care of her. We always talked about the things that she loved in her life, and her family and her church was always number one for her. And she was a bright light in this community. And I miss her, and I will probably keep missing her. And I'm sure you guys will too. So thank you for those who went and saw her and those who loved her, and I'm sure that she's looking down on all of us right now and smiling.
Thank you all for sharing, and I hope you could hear the bells. Larry was ringing the bell as each name was read off, and so we're sending that out into the community that we are remembering our saints. And we give thanks for all these saints, Don, Becky, Harold, and Alice. And we just praise the Lord for sending them on earth. And may we treasure their memory and always hold them dear in our hearts. So would you please join me in the All Saints prayer? We give you thanks, O Lord, for all the saints who have ever worshiped you, whether in brush arbors or cathedrals, weathered wooden churches or crumbling cement meeting houses, where your name was lifted and adored. We give you thanks, O God, for hands lifted in praise, manicured hands, and those gnarled with age. Holy hands used as wave offerings across the land. We thank you, God, for hardworking saints, whether hard-hatted, steel-booted, head-ragged, or aproned, blue-collared, or three-piece suited, they left their mark on the earth for you, for us, for our children to come. Thank you, God, for the tremendous sacrifices made by those who have gone before us. Bless the memories of your saints, God. May we learn how to walk wisely from their examples of faith, dedication, worship, and love. Amen.
God of all generations, as we worship today, we offer our whole selves to you, all that we have and all that we are. Like your saints who have gone before us, we pray that you will help us be bold in our mission and in our witness. May we who have been given so much, give freely, ministering in your compassion to the multitudes near to us and far from us, so that one day we may stand amidst the multitude that gathers at your heavenly throne. We pray this in the name of our Savior and Redeemer, Christ our Lord. Amen.
Good morning. Our scripture this morning will come from the book of Ruth, chapter 1, verses 3 to 22. Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. Then only she was left, along with her two sons. They took wives for themselves, Moabite women. The name of the first was Orpah, and the name of the second was Ruth. And they lived there for about 10 years. But both of the sons, Mahlon and Chilion, also died. Only the woman was left, without her two children and without her husband. Then she arose along with her daughters-in-law to return from the field of Moab, because while in the territory of Moab, she had heard that the Lord had paid attention to his people providing them food. She left the place where she had been, and her two daughters-in-law went with her. They went along the road to the return to the land of Judah. Naomi said to her daughters-in-law, "Go, turn back each of you to the household of your mother. May the Lord deal faithfully with you just as you have done with the dead and with me. May the Lord provide for you so that you may find security, each woman in the household of her husband." Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and they wept. But they replied to her, "No, instead, we will return with you to your people." Naomi replied, "Turn back, my daughters. Why would you go with me? Will there again be sons in my womb that they would be husbands for you? Turn back, my daughters. Go. I am too old for a husband. If I were to say that I have hope, even if I had a husband tonight, and even more, if I were to bear sons, would you wait until they grew up? Would you refrain from having a husband? No, my daughters, this is more bitter for me than for you, since the Lord's will has come out against me." Then they lifted up their voices and wept again. Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth stayed with her. Naomi said, "Look, your sister-in-law is returning to her people and to her gods. Turn back after your sister-in-law." But Ruth replied, "Don't urge me to abandon you, to turn back from following after you. Wherever you go, I will go, and wherever you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. Wherever you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord do this to me and more, so if even death separates me from you." When Naomi saw that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped speaking about it. So both of them went along until they arrived at Bethlehem. When they arrived at Bethlehem, the whole town was excited on account of them. And the woman of the town asked, "Can this be Naomi?" She replied to them, "Don't call me Naomi, but call me Mara, for the Almighty has made me very bitter. I went away full, but the Lord has returned me empty." The word of God. Thanks be to God. After the song they paid for the offertory, I'm not sure that I need to preach, but I will anyway. As we begin to wrap up our series, I've been meaning to ask this last question that we will be considering this week and next week is, where do we go from here? Throughout this series, we have been talking about building our relationships between each other, others, the community, and God. And yet, as in any relationship, once a relationship is established, at some point, we have to make a decision as to what extent we will further the relationship and journey forward together. So at some point, we come to a place where we have what I have to make, what I call, well, a crossroads decision. By now, most of you have figured out that, well, I'm a fan of poetry and the creative arts. And I think that Robert Frost captures this idea of a crossroads moment in his poem, The Road Not Taken. How many of you know that poem? Frost writes, "Two roads diverged in a yellow wood, and sorry I could not travel both. And be one traveler, long I stood, and looked down one as far as I could, to where it bent in the undergrowth. Then took the other, as just as fair, and having perhaps the better claim, because it was grassy and wanted wear. Though as far as that, the passing there had worn them really about the same, and both that morning equally lay in leaves no step had trodden black. Oh, I kept the first for another day. Yet knowing how way leads on to way, I doubted if I should ever come back. I shall be telling this with a sigh somewhere ages hence. Two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by, and that has made all the difference." Frost speaks, I think, a profound truth in this poem, in as much as there are times in life when we're standing at a crossroad and we are looking down two paths, and sometimes the path we plan to travel kind of collides with a path we would not have chosen, or perhaps crashes into one that we had never, ever dreamed of. And there are many, many crossroad moments in life. Perhaps it's the death of a loved one or a spouse, those we love, such as this morning we lighted candles for. Maybe it's a divorce or moving to another country or changing careers, choosing a college, making retirement decisions, or any other number of events. And while all of these experiences are different, what they hold in common is that they present us with life-changing decisions to make. In today's text, Oprah, Naomi, and Ruth are in the midst of a crossroads moment. They have come to a fork in a road that they'd never dreamed of nor imagined. And really hard decisions have to be made. As we just read, Naomi's husband and sons have died in leaving her and her daughters-in-law to navigate in a patriarchal society alone. Now, in today's world, we don't think much of being a female and being single and on your own, but in biblical culture, to be widowed and alone meant sure starvation. And the tradition at that time was such that if a woman's spouse died, then the brother of another male family would become responsible for their financial needs or for their stability and their food and their clothing and shelter. Where daughter-in-laws were concerned, well, another son would take them in and care for them. But these women, they have none of that. Naomi has no more sons. She herself, as she says, she's too old to remarry. And as Naomi makes it clear, even if she did, by some miracle upon miracles, if she gave birth to a son, the child would be far too young to ever provide for her daughters-in-law. Naomi and her daughters are facing what I call that "where do we go from here" question. And the decision that they are facing is a question of survival, a question of determining what their best opportunity to thrive is. What is my best opportunity to thrive? So this is Naomi's crossroad moment when she realizes and comes to terms with the fact that she must return to her homeland, Judah, for her survival. That decision had to be a devastating decision for her. As our text says, it's a bitter situation. It's a tough pill to swallow. Moab had been her home for 10 years. She's lost a spouse and two sons who she depended upon. But more than that, they were people that she loved. And now she finds herself alone in a land that's not even her homeland. If you think about it, there are many in our world today. You don't have to look very far past the news. to see how many people are being displaced, having to leave their homeland, have no place to go, seeking security, hope, and renewal in a strange land. So this really isn't at all the life that Naomi had planned. It isn't the future she dreamed of for her daughters-in-laws. It doesn't look like anything that she had in mind. And our text tells us not only is Naomi in a bitter situation, the experience has made her bitter in heart. Her response is one of bitterness and fear and anger and isolation. And all of these feelings are normal responses when we are grieving losses of just about any kind. Nevertheless, as she considers this question, where do we go from here? Naomi's wisdom tells her the best option for her is to, well, return to her homeland and send her daughter-in-laws, whom she loves, back to their mothers that they might remarry and obtain financial security for themselves. Makes sense to me. So she says, go and turn back, each of you, to the household of your mother. May the Lord deal faithfully with you. May the Lord provide for you that you may find security, each woman in the household of her husband. What a tough decision for Naomi to make. She loves these two young women. They are her family. They are all that she has left. To essentially say, look, you've been faithful to me and my sons, but your duty to me is done. Go and live and have a full life. Now, initially, both daughters' immediate response is, you know what, there is no way that we're ever going to do that. There is no way that we are going to leave you to travel this road alone. We're just not going to do that. We're going to travel along with you. Like Naomi's love for her daughters is evident, so too is Oprah and Ruth's love for Naomi evident. They've bonded. They've become a family. They're joined together by so many memories and so much stuff. Not once, but twice this text, we find all three of them lifting up their voices together, and they're weeping and they're grieving together. So this isn't really just any crossroads, fork in the road, where do we go from here moment. It's a story that is filled with grief and pain and memories and loss and goodbyes and good times and all of that stuff all mixed up into one. And I want us to hear that. Because sometimes I think we only see this story as a story about Ruth, and we miss these women's collective pain. We gloss over Oprah and Naomi's story. Again, in any relationship, each person's story is important and it needs to be heard. And sometimes I think that we miss the pain and the loss embedded in the story in our rush to get to Ruth's profound and monumental statement and decision to journey forward with Naomi. And we forget the pain of these three women and the loss, and that this story began in pain. Or maybe it's just that we are so anxious to get to the love story between Ruth and Boaz later in the book that we forget all the beauty that we find in the book of Ruth is birthed in pain, loss, grief, hard choices, and crossroad moments. All of the beauty that we find in the book is born there. This story is birthed while having to answer hard questions like, where do we go from here? So in the story, not only is Naomi faced with this question, where do we go from here, but so too are Oprah and Ruth. They have decisions to make. Do I stay? Do I go? What do I do? And I don't think that either choice is necessarily a good or a bad choice. Neither choice is a right or a wrong choice. And I know that over the years we kind of like to say, well, you know, Oprah, she did the wrong thing. She made a really bad choice. And the truth is, we don't know that. We do not know that. So we kind of need to stop dissing Oprah for her decision to return to her mother's family. She was grieving, and she did what she needed to do. She too had to answer that question for herself in terms of survival and an opportunity to thrive. Oprah chose the path she believed was best for her in her time and place, and from where she stood, as she looked down the true roads that she could have traveled. She likely knew that once she chose the path, as Frost says, that it was unlikely that she'd ever be able to turn back. It was unlikely she would ever see Ruth or Naomi again. Now, she didn't know about Ruth at the time, but she knew she probably wouldn't see Naomi again. And I don't think that was an easy decision for her to make. And we don't know how walking that path in life turned out for Oprah, if she was blessed by the road or not. But I like to believe that she was, because this is a story of God's blessings and graciousness. You know, despite Naomi's circumstances and her belief that the Lord had come out against her or dealt with her harshly, you know, Naomi later learns that our God is a God of graciousness and blessing, even if we can't fathom him in the moment. What we do know is Naomi sends Oprah off with a blessing. She doesn't send her off with hard feelings or say, I hope you get what you deserve. She sends her off with a blessing and says, I hope you have a fruitful life. I hope you go forth and live life in a way that blesses you. Ruth, on the other hand, she chooses another way. And despite Naomi's urging her to turn back, she decided to journey on with Naomi again. I'm not convinced that Ruth chose the better road, that her decision was any more valiant than Oprah's. She too had to choose the path she believed was best for her and would offer her the greater blessing. So Ruth replies, don't urge me to abandon you or to turn back from you, following after you. Wherever you go, I will go, and wherever you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. Wherever you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. So Ruth, in the midst of all of this, this wasn't an easy choice. I mean, we kind of get the impression, you know, she was just doodah happy all the way down the road. But this had to be really hard for her. She's leaving her homeland. She's choosing a God that she's never worshipped. She's choosing a totally new way of life. Yes, she knew Naomi, and yes, she'd probably seen Naomi worship her God, but she knew nothing about the world she was going to walk into. And so she makes this choice. And so Ruth and Naomi perhaps take that road that's left traveled together, and they journey on to make their way to Bethlehem. Now, if we read ahead a few chapters, we find in the end that Ruth and Naomi are blessed by their decision, and the Lord deals graciously and kindly with both of them. They were bonded together through their commitment. They were a family. Reverend Aisha Brooks Johnson makes this observation. She says, Ruth's response echoes the unending and far-reaching love of God. Ruth's response is not one of fight or flight, but is rooted and grounded in being bound to one another. In the face of loss, these family ties are deepened through a spiritual bond of connection, commitment, and community. Ruth is willing to live, worship, work, advocate, walk alongside, and find her earthly resting place with Naomi from this day forward. I don't know, some of you, I know folks who, when they married, it was the time of war. And they got married and they left everything they had. They just, they're off. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? But that was the choice. In our world today, we have experienced a lot of death. We've experienced a lot of grief and a lot of loss in the midst of a global pandemic, racial brokenness, economic disparity, and political division, and none of it seems to end. But Reverend Brooks Johnson asks this question. She says, can you imagine a world in which we took the spiritual oath like the one we find in the book of Ruth? I will go wherever you go. I will follow you. Your people will be my people and your God will be my God. Wherever you die, I will die and there I will be buried. What a wonderful description of a church family. What a beautiful description of a church family. She asks, you know, if we resisted the temptation to fight or flee in the face of grief and pain and oppression, what? What if we took the vows with members of our human family? I might add, what if we took those vows as a spiritual family? Today's truth is we will always live in a world that is filled with where do we go from here moments and decisions. We're always going to be in a world where there are fork in the roads and crossroad moments. And for each of us, the road may look different, but in the end, I think this chapter in Ruth teaches us that when we choose relationship, the spiritual bond of connection, community, and commitment, we will be blessed. That God's blessing awaits us when we each reach the end of that road. Now our text says, so both of them went along until they arrived at Bethlehem. And when they arrived, the whole town was excited on account of them. That's a blessing. That's a blessing. Now, I know that in our text, Naomi first arrived, she wasn't feeling particularly blessed in the moment. And sometimes in the middle of those crossroad moments, we aren't always feeling the blessing. You know, sometimes I have to say to God, okay, God, I know there's a blessing here somewhere, but I'm not feeling it. You know, rain it on down because, you know, I'm ready. I think we've all been there. I think we have all been there. But in the end, Naomi was blessed, as was Ruth. In the end, the blessing came. She couldn't see it in the moment, but in time, the blessings come. So we must always remember Ruth was once an outsider and an alien to God, but by choice, she became not only a part of Israel, but a part of the lineage of Christ. So while sometimes the road we travel is harsh, even bitter, and seems hopeless, and it appears that life or even God has dealt us an unfair hand, the truth is, if we stay on the journey, spiritually bound together by faith, hope, and love, through connection and community and commitment, the road will lead us to new beginnings of which we've never dreamed. So I wonder, where is your where do I go from here moment blessed you? At what fork in the road do you stand? How will you move forward? What road will you choose as a church, as many churches throughout the country? Many churches are asking, where do we go from here? Where do we go? We go forward in Christ's name, a spiritual family, bonded by the love of Christ, committed to each other, others in our community. You know, today we celebrate communion with all of the saints, that great cloud of witnesses, all those who in faith who have gone before us. Our table here represents just a handful of those. And this meal that we're about to share is a reminder and a representation that as the church, we are a family. We're a spiritual family. We're a spiritually bound community, and our relationships are deepened through a spiritual bond of connection, commitment, and community. We heard this morning about those who love this church. What we heard about was that spiritual bond of connection, commitment, and community. And so when we wonder where do we go from here, that's where we go. In Christ, we are one family spiritually bound by this meal, one body, and we, though many, throughout the ends of the earth, we are one body in this one Lord. As we go to communion this morning, I want to remind you that everyone in the United Methodist Church in our tradition is invited to partake of God's table. So you don't have to have any special talents or any special gifts. You don't even have to believe in Jesus. All you have to believe is that I need Jesus. I've made mistakes in my life that need healed and forgiven, and that I am loved by God. Patient, forgiving spirit, we come seeking your face. Like Mary and Martha, we have forgotten your promises of eternal life.
Like the crowd that mourned for Lazarus, we have not believed that we would see our Lord.
Forgive our unbelief, O God.
Bring us back and restore us and trust in you.
The Holy One shows us a vision of a new heaven and a new earth where everyone will live in peace and blessing. Trusting in God's promise to wipe away all of our tears, in the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen.
Generous giver of all that we need, accept these gifts of simple bread and ordinary wine, that we may one day share in your holy feast spread out through all the world. We pray in the name of Jesus, your holy child, who sets the table for all people. A table of rich food and abundant joy. Amen. Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift up to God.
Let us give thanks to the Holy One.
It is right, a good and a joyful,
always and everywhere, to give our thanks to you, Alpha and Omega, beginning and ending of all creation. In the days of Isaiah, you promised to lead all nations to your holy mountain and swallow up death forever. You have revealed the coming of a new heaven and a new earth in which every tear will be wiped from our eyes, and all will feast at your heavenly banquet, and so with your saints now on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn, saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Holy are you, and holy is your Son, Jesus Christ. When he raised Lazarus from the grave, he showed us all the glory, giving thanks only to you and praising your name. Lord, we pray that you would pour out your Holy Spirit on us, gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, so that we may become one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until all things are made new, Alpha and Omega, beginning and ending. Spirit of new beginnings, we praise your holy, eternal, triune name. Let us pray now the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Because there is one loaf, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one loaf. The bread we break is the sharing of the body of Christ, and the cup over which we give thanks is the sharing of the blood of Christ. This family of faith is the body of Christ, broken for you. And this blood is the blood of the beloved community, Christ's blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Would God's people come forward as you were able? All God's people said,
amen.
As we go from here this day, may the grace and the love and the glory of Christ be with each and every one of you. Amen.